to give them the gospel so that they could be soundly saved as a result. So the reason we're having it at different hours and we're going to be preaching shorter and things like that is because of that. But it's great to have you. But if you all want to stand for the reading of God's Word, we're going to turn to three different places in the Old Testament. First, in Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel chapter 22. And 2 Chronicles chapter 16. And then I'll be reading out of Isaiah chapter 6. Now, you don't have to turn to all those places, Isaiah 6. And all of these verses are very, very familiar to us. So I think you can trust that I'm not going to be taking anything out of context or making something up. But starting off in Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30. God said, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Then in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. We'll stop there and go to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. It says, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. I'm going to preach to you for a little while this morning. I'm going to try to go very quickly on understanding this outreach. Really getting a hold of the significance of what we're getting ready to do. And Brother Loomis, would you pray? Now, I want to start off this morning by looking at our text and just explaining a little bit about each one of these verses. And we're going to start off in Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, where it said, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Now, in this one verse, we see the Lord's desire and the Lord's dilemma all wrapped up in one. In just one verse. The desire of the Lord and yet the dilemma that He's facing in this one verse. And first we find the Lord's desire when it says this in the beginning and the majority of this verse. It says, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. In other words, it's God's desire for somebody to make themselves available to go share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people that have never heard so that they can be soundly saved. Amen. I hope that you know that that is the desire of God. We could even say that is His obsession. That's what He longs for. He desires for sinners to be brought to a place of repentance. I mean, we know that when we read through 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. It says, the Lord's not willing that any should perish, but that every human being that has ever lived or ever will live will be brought to a place of repentance, soundly saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we need to understand how important that is. It is the will of God that lost people would be reached with the gospel message. So it's clearly His desire. But next we find the Lord's dilemma and the last four words of this verse. Because it says, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. That's His desire. But then the last four words say this, but I found none. In other words, He wants the lost to be saved. And He wants somebody to be willing to stand in the gap and preach the gospel to these people. But so many times He can't find anybody that's willing to do it. In other words, evangelism is the cry of His heart. But yet His heart is breaking because nobody's willing to participate. Then in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, it says this, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Now, here God's saying that he wants somebody to share his burden for the lost and to go out and reach them with the gospel message so badly that he's promising to anoint them and to empower them with all of the ability that they could ever possibly need in order to accomplish that task. In other words, here's what God's saying in that verse. I will give you all of my abilities if you'll just give me your availability. I mean, if you'll just go with the gospel message, I will provide you with all of the power that you could ever possibly need. And then if you need boldness, I'll go ahead and give you boldness. If you need the perfect words to speak at that perfect time, I'll fill your mouth with what I desire you to say. And then if you need an open door of opportunity, I'll make sure that it swings wide open, brother, but you've got to be willing to go. Amen? But the bad thing is nobody's going. I mean, statistics tell us that only 2% of all evangelical Christians share their faith on a regular basis. Only 2 out of every 100 Christians share their faith with sinners. That means that, you know, we've got this large group of people that are claiming to be saved, but they do not want to be obedient to the Great Commission, and they are uninterested in seeing the will of God being accomplished in this area. They're uninterested. How do we know that? Because they're unwilling to go. But today, we need to understand that that's different, isn't it? I mean, because we got to understand, the Bible is written for the church universal. But today, these verses are not applying to us. And here's the reason I say that, because today God's looking for somebody to reach the lost of Goshen, Indiana, and then to go out and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them, and he has found a group of believers here at First Assembly of God that are more than willing to do it. And they're quoting the last verse of our text with their lives in Isaiah chapter 6 verse 8. It says, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? So we raised up our hands and said, here am I, Lord, send me. And then if you're wanting to fill somebody's mouth with the perfect words, I'll be willing to speak them. And then if you want to anoint somebody to make a difference in somebody else's life, God, I'm willing to go. If you want your will to be accomplished, I will purposely put it into action because I understand there's a lot of other people that aren't interested. I understand there's a lot of other people that aren't concerned. But those words are not descriptive of me. I understand what you want to see take place today and every other day of our lives. And Lord, I'm willing to let you use me in order to see your will accomplished. And this morning, we need to understand the tremendous significance of what is getting ready to take place in this outreach that we're going to be participating in. Because there are approximately 30,000 people that live in the city of Goshen, Indiana. Okay, now there's going to be a lot of other people there, you know, visiting from different places, but we know the entire population of our city isn't going to show up to the fair parade, too. We know that. And then, but there's approximately 30,000 people in our city, and we're about ready to hand out 15,000 gospel tracts to them. Okay, so I'm not the brightest guy in the world, but I'm going to do the math for you here. That means that we're going to reach half the population of our entire city with the gospel of Jesus Christ today. We need to think about that. We are going to place the gospel of salvation in written form right into the palm of their hand. And I want you to think about the potential of handing out 15,000 tracts. Because we know that they have a strong potential of being read by more than one person. So who knows how many people are going to be reached with the gospel today. And I believe that we can stand firm that those tracts are going to be read because, you know, somebody that would be too chicken to go out, this is the first thing they'd say. Well, how do we even know people are going to read them? Well, because God's for what we're getting ready to do. That's how we know. I mean, he can cause them to fall into the most boring stupor of their entire lives that they can find nothing better to do than to read that tract that you give to them today. That's the way I believe it. Now, knowing that it is God's will for us to do what we're getting ready to do, I want to ask you 3 very important questions. Number 1, do you think God is going to be pleased with our efforts today? I mean, do you think we're going to be a people that he's smiling down upon? I mean, do you think he's going to be pleased with us? Of course he's going to be pleased with us. We're obeying his will in full. Okay, do you think that God is going to bless our efforts by using these tracts to change people's lives? That it's not just a piece of paper, but when we hand it to somebody, He's going to do everything He possibly can to see that that piece of paper they get a hold of changes their lives completely. You believe that? Third question. Do you think that God is going to bless us as individuals and corporately as a church because we're doing what He asks us to do? Of course He will. Is that selfish for us to look for that? No. Obedience brings blessings. And I'm glad that it does. Like that old credit card commercial, man, membership has its privileges. Man, I'm glad I'm a child of God, and if I'll just line up to this book, all the blessings of this book will be bestowed upon my life. So we know that God's going to bless us as individuals and as a body of believers. So it's obvious that we are about ready to experience something awesome in our city, in our own personal lives, and in this congregation. But before we go out on this outreach, I want to make sure that we understand three very important things about what we're getting ready to do. Okay? First of all, today, we need to understand that we are going to be fulfilling the role of the sower that we read about in Matthew chapter 13. Okay? And you all are familiar with that story. I mean, we know that the sower represents a preacher. When it says that he's going out and he's sowing the seed, what that seed represents is the gospel message. I mean, that's the role that we are fulfilling today. That's what your shirts say. We're spreading that seed. We are the men and women of God that are the preachers of the gospel that are going and giving that seed of the gospel message to people that have never heard or that are lost and without Christ. Maybe they've heard before and they've just rejected. And in this parable, we find some different results that took place when that sower gave his seed. Four different instances, but there's really three different results. First of all, he went out and he threw out that seed and it fell on hard hearts. People didn't want anything to do with it. I mean, there might be some people today when you go to hand out that tract and they'll say, no, I'd rather not have that. That's all right. It happened to that sower. It's going to happen to us. It's just the way that it is. I accept that. I'm not going to be discouraged. The Bible tells me that's going to happen sometimes. We also know that some people accepted it, got saved, only later to backslide. I've seen that happen time and time again. We know that with the stony ground and the thorny ground. I mean, it just the way it goes. It's unfortunate but true. But then we also know that some people were willing to completely surrender their lives to God, cultivate their relationship with Jesus Christ, and they were soundly saved as a result. So those are the results that took place when we read through that parable. But what I want you to notice is that the only responsibility that the sower had upon his life was simply to sow the seed. I understand that there were different results, but that was not the sower's responsibility. He couldn't make them accept it, and he could not force the people that did accept it to continue in it and cultivate it. He couldn't make them do that. But all he could do is give them the gospel message and make sure that they had the opportunity to get saved. That's all he could do. That's all he has the power to do. So what they did with the gospel message was their responsibility, but whether or not they received it was his. Does that make sense to you? Notice what we're told in Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Brother Miles, that sounds great, doesn't it? But now let's go on to verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Then Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17, God's giving him his commission that's given to us in the Great Commission. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word of my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his way, to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Understand what the Word of God's teaching us. What somebody does with the gospel message is their responsibility. We have absolutely no power over that whatsoever. We can try to persuade them, but we can't make them do anything. But whether or not they receive it is our responsibility, folks. So today, our job and our burden is to spread the seed. Amen. That is the test of our faithfulness, and the rest is up to God and the responsibility of the person that hears it. So here's what I want you to understand, that if you go out and somebody rejects your tract and doesn't want it, or somebody says something to you nasty or whatever the case might be, hey, just understand, that's just the way that it goes sometimes. Big deal. Nobody's going to pour gas on you and set you on fire. I can trade. And if they do, we got a bunch of water. I'll run over there and put it on you and get it out as soon as I can. But we are going to meet our responsibility to make sure that they have an opportunity to get it. 15,000 of them. The second thing I want you to understand is our goal in this outreach is to see people get saved. Okay? Now, sure, our responsibility is to simply give them the gospel, but our desire is that by all means they would partake of it. Amen? I mean, our responsibility is to distribute the seed, but our goal is to make sure that they have the same change that occurred in us go on to occur in them. You know, in the same power that came and took us from being sinners to becoming saints is the same power that will overtake their lives and lead them to a place of repentance. That the same power that delivered us from all of our addictions, all of our vices, all of the bondage that Satan had us backed into a corner with, I mean, all of those different things would be disintegrated by the blood of Jesus Christ when they accepted into their lives. That's the goal of what we are getting ready to do. Then I understand we have a role that we're going to play, but there's a goal behind it. We want to see them soundly saved. Our responsibility is to give the gospel, but we also have a desire that drives that. We want to see them changed by the power of Jesus Christ. And the good news is that God desires to see that take place more than what we do. I mean, you got to think about it. I mean, we want to see it happen pretty significantly. I don't know how you've been praying or how you feel about it in your heart. I mean, but we as a church, amen, we're going out today. We've been giving our time. Amen, our money, our prayers. I mean, we're devoting an entire church Sunday. We're not even having church on Sunday night. That's unheard of at this church. I understand a lot of other liberal assembly of gods are going that direction. Man, I don't want nothing to do with that. I want to be in the house of God every chance I get. Amen? But today there's something, we've got such an opportunity that we can walk down the street with people begging for you to hand them something, and we're going to. So we're doing everything we can to see that they would get saved. I mean, it's our desire, but God was so willing that it would take place. He sent His Son to die for their sins. And now He's promising us that if we would just go, He'll do everything in His power to see that this outreach is going to be successful. I mean, do you really believe that? That God wants to see it happen so bad, He's going to do everything in His power to make sure that these tracts are read, and then when they read them, it has a tremendous effect on the person that read it. Because a lot of times I think when we're involved in ministry, we just think we're going out and we're doing what we're supposed to do, but we forget all the important stuff behind it. God wants to see these people saved. It's not a joke. It's not just a ministry opportunity. And then when that gets in their hands, He's going to begin dealing with them to read it. Why? Because that's the only way they can be saved is through the message they're going to have in their hand. And then once they get that information in their brain, He's going to start working on their heart, convicting them by His power and by His Spirit, just like He did to me all those years ago. And He has a way of convicting somebody that He can back them into a corner and make them so sick of their sin that they can't think of anything else other than to repent of it and to turn to Him. That's what He's going to do with every single one of those tracts that we hand out. You've got to believe that. Third thing that I want you to understand, and there's going to be a miracle. See, God's already performing a miracle right now. I'm on my last point, and I've only been preaching 15 minutes. You didn't think it could ever happen. I'm going to preach in 20, 25 minutes. Glory to God. Miracles happen. The first assembly of God. Third thing I want you to understand is our duty today is to set a standard, okay? Because today God wants this outreach to set a standard in both our hearts as individuals and to our community in general, okay? Now first, God wants us to set a standard in our community that says this: we love you and we care about you and we are concerned enough about the condition of your souls to come out and put our compassion into action. And we're not coming out so that we can look down our ecclesiastical noses and say, you know, you bunch of sinners, you're guilty of this and this and this and this and that. Now, they've got to be told that they're guilty before God. And they've got to understand that they're in sin. But we're not doing it like we're some kind of nasty people. We're just simply people that are coming out and saying, hey, I'm just going to give you the information that I received so that I could see my sin and I could turn to Christ just like we want to see you do. And when we're not trying to recruit people for our church, although I'd love for to have them come here so we can disciple them, we're not interested in their money. We want to see the pit of sin that they're in. We want to see them be lifted out of it. And we don't want to just talk about it during prayer requests. We don't want to just read about it in books. We're going to take our feet and walk down our streets and hand out His gospel so that their lives can be changed. We're willing to put it into action. And you know, there's nothing that tells somebody that you love them more like when you do something for them that you don't have to do. That isn't a benefit for you, but it is a benefit for them. And it's been my prayer that that's how they would see what we're getting ready to take place. The devil would like nothing more than to start speaking in their ears, oh, these people, look what it says on that tract, that you've got to repent of your sins and become converted to Christ. I mean, they're just trying to call you this and that and trying to, you know, point you out. Listen, I'm not interested in pointing anything out today. I'm interested in pulling them out of what they're already in. I'm not going to take any satisfaction in just saying, ha, you're a sinner. Now understand, they've got to see that. But the only satisfaction I'm going to get is if they say, man, I realize that I am. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Amen. The second standard that God wants us to set is to ourselves. Because today, God wants every single one of us to determine in our hearts that we're not just going to reach out like this to people that are lost and in sin once a year. But we're going to make sure that we reach out like this to sinners every single chance that we can possibly get. Okay? God wants us to set an evangelistic standard in each one of our hearts that doesn't just consist of an annual outreach, but it consists of an all-out lifestyle. And I want to stay here for a second because I want you to understand this. There's going to be some people at this church that have never went out handing out tracts. They've never went out witnessing and different things like that because you're too scared to do it. And like I've said many times before from the pulpit, I was at the same place years ago in my relationship with the Lord that I couldn't even hand out a tract because I was too scared. And a lot of people laugh at that kind of thing, and you can laugh all you want. That's where I was at. I'll admit it freely. I'm not there anymore, but that's where I was at. Now, what God has done, if you're in that kind of situation, is He has set up the perfect opportunity for you to be able to go out and to get actively involved in evangelism today. Here's why. We're going to be walking down the street, not by ourselves, but surrounded by all kinds of other people from our church and people that are supporting us, doing the exact same thing we are, and we're going to be walking down streets that are lined with people that are desiring for you to hand them something. And we're going to. It couldn't get any easier than what it's going to be today. And because of that, God's saying, listen, I have opened up a door of opportunity today for you to get actively involved in what I've called you to do with your entire life. And I want you to go out and do it, and you're going to hand out so many tracts that it's going to become commonplace. You can hand out 100 tracts just like that. I mean, just you wouldn't believe how fast of a pace we're going to be walking and just handing these tracts out, and people receive them. It's very easy to do. But here's what the Lord wants you to understand. He doesn't want you to just partake of an easy opportunity and then leave it at that. What we're going to participate in today is not the be-all, end-all of our outreach here at the church. And it sure shouldn't be the be-all, end-all of your outreach inside of your own personal life. But He wants it to be just the beginning. And just like He's opened up every door of opportunity to try to help you along in what He's called you to do, He will continue to do so. I preached just last week talking about evangelism. If anybody wants to get started and wants somebody to go out with, I would be more than happy to take you with me personally when I go out witnessing. There's many other people here that are active in evangelism that would love to have you go along with them. All we have to do is simply be willing. Okay? Now, I want to use the words to one of my favorite old hymns to explain the commitment that the Lord wants us to make concerning this commission He's placed upon our lives. And it's an old hymn called, "Lord, Lay Some Soul Upon My Heart." Now here's the fact in verse 1. This is what the Lord's stating. "Lift up your eyes, look to the fields. They white to harvest are, and God is calling volunteers to serve Him near and far." In other words, people are ready to be saved. They want to hear the message that we have. They're sick of their sin. They just don't know what to do about it. Verse number 2 gives the question that God poses to all of us. "And you, dear Christian, God now calls to labor for the lost. Will you, your life, your gifts, your all, give Him at any cost?" Then we see the answer in verse 3 that I hope is the answer that everybody here this morning will give. "I will be true, my Lord, to serve who died to set me free. I'll consecrate my life to you and ever faithful be. Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. And may I ever do my part to win that soul for thee." That's the commitment that God wants every single one of us to make this morning. We need to make that same level of commitment, not just annually or ever so often, but we need to make it every single time we get a chance. And the Lord will make sure that we have opportunities, and He'll make sure that we have the anointing to do so. Let's go ahead and stand. Brother Ron, I'm just going to have you play some music here in a moment so that we can all pray. Folks, you got to believe that God is for what we're getting ready to do here. Okay. So that means that beyond any shadow of a doubt, since it's His divine will that what we're doing is going to take place, we know that He's going to anoint it, we know that He's going to empower it, and we know that there is a potential for great things to take place because of the obedience of this church. Now, I understand it's our reasonable service. We shouldn't be patting ourselves on the back just simply because we're being obedient. But when you follow what the Word of God has to say, good things happen as a result, folks. And really, because of our obedience, we could rewrite some of these texts that I read to you this morning. And don't anybody take offense to this, but I really want you to see it the way the Lord does. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30. "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. And I found some from the faithful people at the First Assembly of God that were willing to do so." 2 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9. "So the eyes of the Lord were focused in on those faithful people at First Assembly of God to show Himself strong on their behalf because their hearts were perfect towards Him." And friend, whenever you're in the center of God's will, His presence and His power literally surround you. And that's what we can expect as we're going out with the gospel today. He said, "Listen, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore." We should expect nothing less. It's going to be a fast pace. It's going to be hot. And you might get rained on. Bring it on. I have an opportunity for 15,000 people to get the gospel message. I don't care how hot it is. I don't care how bad my feet are going to hurt, and they're going to hurt at the end of it. And I don't care if I get drenched. I mean, we've been there and done that before, right? We ain't sissies, are we? Amen. No, we're spiritual, and we want to see other people have the same chance to get saved that we had. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come to You in Jesus' name. Lord, we love You, and we magnify You, and we thank You for giving us the privilege to go out and to work for Your kingdom. Lord, we're a privileged people because we've received a message that millions upon millions of people have never had the opportunity to hear. And Lord, because of our heart for those people, we're going to do our very best today to go out and make sure that as many people as we can possibly give the gospel message to do have a chance to hear it and do have the opportunity to respond in the way that You want them to. Lord, we pray that You would cause these tracts to be read by every single person that they're handed to. Lord, we pray that it would have a tremendous effect on their heart and their life. Lord, we would pray that You would begin to convict them with excruciating conviction, not because we want to have negative consequences upon their life, but because we want them to see their sin for what it is, a wall of separation between You and them, that until it comes crumbling down, all the blessings that You're longing to bestow upon their life are unable to be accomplished. Lord, we pray that You would make this gospel message real to them when they read it. We pray that it would be read by not just one person who gets to track, but as many different people as can possibly be reached with our efforts. God, we pray that You would use it. God, do what only You can do. We fully understand we're serving a miracle-working God, and we're expecting nothing less. Lord, we pray that you would be with each one of us as we go. I understand the weather is going to be very hot. I know we're going to be tired. But Lord, we're just asking that You would bless us in the midst of our efforts. Help everybody to be fine. Let nothing wrong take place. But Lord, just be with us as we do our best to accomplish Your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we've got a couple minutes here. I'd like everybody to come down and pray. And here's what I want you to really get solidified in your mind when you come to the altars. First of all, if you're not planning on going, you need to come down and pray that God would break you, that you would be concerned about what He wants to do in this world. Okay? If you're an elderly person or for health reasons you can't, we totally understand that. And when we're asking and coveting earnestly that you would pray for us as we go out. But if you're here and you have every reason that you could go, you're just choosing not to. Shame on you. I mean, there's people that could hear the gospel message, but they're not going to because you're unwilling to go out and to give it to them. But if you're here and you are going to be going, here's what I want you to come down and solidify in your mind. God is behind what we're getting ready to do. And with every tract you hand out, I want you to expect that that person is going to read it. And then believe that God is going to come down and do His best, that that tract would have a tremendous effect upon their lives. And surely out of 15,000, somebody's going to get saved. Last Sunday morning when I was preaching about hindrances to evangelism, I said this, that if you look at the account in Acts chapter 2 and the account in Acts chapter 4, where 8,000 people got saved because of one man's preaching on just two different occasions, we would have to build 12 churches of this size that were packed to capacity just to accommodate all the new converts. Okay. That's 8,000 people. We're going to be handing it out to 15,000. I hope we got to get a bigger building fund. God can do it, folks. We just got to believe Him. Amen? Let's come down and pray.